Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Download it for free. It's the big orange background with the white A, Odyssey. Once you have it downloaded to your device, you look for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You got us. You work seamlessly with your CarPlay. If you're familiar with Spotify or Pandora or anything like that, it works just like that. So it's all good. You can also get us on iHeartRadio platforms now as well. So more places to check us out online. How's everybody doing on this Tuesday, July 15th, 2025? It is 88 degrees at just about 309 here today. Beautiful day outside. It's going to hop one. Sun is out. Nice clouds. Not the bad clouds. The good clouds, right? Hopefully you did not get too much rain yesterday, but man, was it coming down. Just till about I got home, so about 7 o'clock, it started to clear out. The sun started to come out. Just about what I told you yesterday, right? It was going to move out about at 7 o'clock. And the night was going to be foggy and rain-free, and it was. I think we got enough during the day to deal with us. I'm looking at the TV screen now at a live event in Pittsburgh, the landmark Pennsylvania Energy and AI Summit, where President Donald Trump is scheduled to speak and hold a panel there. I was invited to go to this to cover for the press, and I did look at the logistics, and I do appreciate the invite from the White House, who reached out to me because, you know, I did cover the White House and the campaign coming up to head out there knowing that I was in Pennsylvania. But a 10-hour round trip was not in the forecast. There's really no easy flights from our area to Pittsburgh as well. But even if that was the case, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do the show today, and I would have covered it. And, you know, without a guaranteed high-profile interview, it was really just not logistically possible. So we do see it on TV. We are going to look to see if there's any cuts from it we can bring you. But they're talking about a $90 billion investment into Pennsylvania's energy and AI. We talk about it on our side all the time. I will, however, be covering the Vice President, J.D. Vance, coming to our area, West Pittston, tomorrow. So just be advised, there will be traffic issues throughout our area, probably a most of the day, but especially the afternoon. He is scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock in West Pittston. I would assume landing at Avoca Airport sometime before that. Usually it's not long before that. So you figure anything from about 10, 11 o'clock till he departs at 2 or 3 o'clock, traffic is going to be an issue for our area, so just know that. But I will be there tomorrow covering it. I will be back here in the studio as soon as I can after that. Like I said, he's scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock, hopefully done by 2. And as soon as I can get back here to the studio, and we're working out how we're going to do that and fill that space for you guys, either me calling in and giving some updates from what happened at the event that day or playing some recorded stuff from the event earlier in the day. But we're going to work it out, and then we'll be here in the studio to do the rest of the show for you. So don't you worry. But we are monitoring the Pennsylvania Energy Summit. That's actually a real big deal out in Pennsylvania, Carnegie Mellon University. Just a five-hour each-way turnaround for me was not in the cards today. So I'm here with you guys from the studio in Pittston. But when we have the vice president coming right to our backyard tomorrow, it worked out perfect. And we will have some of our elected officials from our area here as well with the vice president. So we'll stay tuned on what happens there. But if you're headed to that event, I will see you there. If you're not headed to the event, I'll be covering it to bring the event to you. So we'll see you one way or another. So back to our hometown here, our area, our listening area. The Scranton City Council is meeting tonight to hold another forum on the parking debt refinancing and passage or non-passage of a motion to kind of alter the agreement between the city and the Community Development Properties of Scranton, which is an affiliate of nonprofit Grow America, formerly National Development Council. This whole debacle has been fast-tracked last minute from the administration on purpose. And it was at the last city council meeting. And there were only four members at the last city council member. Bill King, a council member, was not there. That seems to be the norm more than not lately for him. If he's not running again, I guess he really doesn't care, or maybe his summer's busy. But the motion failed on a 2-2 vote. And that motion would have added parking times from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock during the week. And it would have added Saturday parking fees. So if you parked in downtown Scranton on a Saturday through specific times, you would have had to pay as well. And businesses, the colleges, and the library, a bunch of community members and came out and spoke against this, saying it was detrimental to the area. It was detrimental to progress. Some business leaders who are very, very supportive of growing businesses in the Scranton area spoke out and says, we don't even see business plans from these entities that of this parking debacle. And it thankfully failed. Now, the threat of that is that if they default, these organizations default on their bonds, which I believe is they purchased the parking authority for $38 million, and I believe there's $36 million in bonds that would have defaulted. It could have been detrimental to the city. It could have went into receivership and such like that. And that's the doom and gloom that the administration and the mayor want to portray, that, hey, we might lose all say in the matter, and they might do 24/7, 365-day parking, depending on what the receivership decides to do for the bondholders. So it's better we come to an agreement. And this morning, the mayor came out and said that her administration has reached an agreement through negotiations. Now, mind you, the administration pushed through last week this parking debacle, which would have included Saturday paying for parking and longer hours during the week. And if two members of city council, Mark McAndrew and Schuster, did not vote no, that would have passed. And that's what they wanted. That was a last minute. They had their caucus with information. The heads of these parking organizations really couldn't answer metric questions on specifics. It was not very informative. And they voted no on it. And because of that and the fear of this default, well, the administration had to scramble and come to this negotiation that they're kind of touting as, well, look what we did. And they really didn't. They're backward against the wall. And believe me, they wanted the original deal. They tried to get that through. The solicitor at the city council meeting said, well, you're going to risk default. And they really went above and beyond to try and push it through to get the two members not to vote no. Because one of those two members who voted no are going to be the ones that have to bring it back up for revote. That's just the way the rules work. So the mayor this morning on this station came on and said that her administration has negotiated and they've gotten the Saturday taken away. And they lessened the hours during the week, I believe, from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And made it seem like it was her going above and beyond to doing this. But actually, she had no choice because of two city council members who held her feet to the fire and made her do this. And thank them for having the Saturday fees taken away. But it's just not all sunshine and roses. In the estimate from these groups, the Community Development Properties of Scranton, which is a nonprofit of Grow America, they estimated that the increased days and hours would have brought in about $74,000 a month in revenue. I don't know how they've come to that conclusion because there's never been Saturday parking. So how are they estimating that? Because they really didn't have a good metric on how many people use the parking garages, how many people use the streets. I mean, literally, one of the executives said, well, I drove by a street one day and it was crowded. Yeah, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express once too. So come on. So how they're coming up with that number of $74,000 in revenue that they'd gain from adding these days and hours. Well, the city now, in their negotiation, agreed to give this organization, remember, the original one was $200,000 a month for 10 years. That's $2 million. Well, now it's going to be $250,000 a month, an extra $50,000 to help offset that $74,000 in losses that the reduced or hours the same as pretty much they are now, maybe by an hour or two during the week increase, is going to cost. So the taxpayer now will foot the bill for this parking at $50,000 a year for a total of $250,000 a year, which is $2.5 million over the 10 years. Now, there's a three-year sunset on the Saturdays and extended hours, which they will look at again, and I believe the city council has to approve again in 3 years if they are going to change that. But here's the thing. When you look into this, and I had AI look at this, the pros and cons of the city taking back the parking asset rather than the deal they're in now and such like that. And it's a really good read, and it gives really an honest view of the pros and cons. And there are pros and cons. The pros are this could be very financially lucrative for the city if it's run properly. The cons are, well, the city of Scranton doesn't have a history of running things properly, especially parking. So if it's not run properly, you are looking at financial risk. And that's basically a synopsis from probably a three-page AI breakdown of the pros and cons. But if you're living in Scranton and you really want to dig into this parking pro and con, I highly recommend you look at my Facebook because it did break it down honestly and pretty transparently. And one of the options that it lists, believe it or not, is what they're probably going to approve tonight, which is paying that $50,000 extra and not having Saturday fees and reducing the during the week from the original 8 o'clock proposal to 7 o'clock, but right now I believe it's 5 o'clock, so it's still an extension during the week. The thing is, looking into this, these groups, Community Development Properties of Scranton, which are an affiliate of this nonprofit Grow America, they own Scranton's proper parking assets, but they don't run it. They hire a subcontractor, which just changed last year, to run the day-to-day operations of the parking. Now, here's the thing. If you're the city of Scranton, why can't you do the same thing? Why do you have to sell this to a nonprofit so they can make money, because there are people on the payroll for these nonprofits, to then just sublet the managing and the operation of Scranton's parking to groups that handle specifically parking? That's what they specialize in. How come the city of Scranton can't do that? Cut out the middleman and save the taxpayer some money, or make money for the city as an asset, because a parking asset is very lucrative in a lot of other cities. Scranton just can't seem to manage it and never has. And that's nothing to do with this current administration. This goes back long-term history, which is the original problem with the Scranton Parking Authority, which is why they had to get rid of it, because it was not properly run. But you have to ask yourself, you know, why would you pay or a nonprofit or turn everything over to a nonprofit to run where they just get a subcontractor to run it for you? Why can't the city do that directly? You'd have to ask why. So if you live in Scranton, you might want to attend the Scranton City Council meeting tonight. Again, with their backs against the wall, and one of the things here is that they truly are, because this is being dumped on them. Everyone is not brought to the negotiating table. It should have included the entire city council, the administration, the mayor, and these groups to sit down with the bondholders to say, hey, Kate, let's figure out what's best. Because the administration tried to dump this last week, including sticking the residents and visitors of Scranton with a Saturday parking fee and extended hours. That didn't pass. So now all of a sudden there's these negotiations, which are a wonderful thing, because the mayor's patting themselves on the back like it was all her doing. No, she was forced to do it. So if anyone's to get the kudos, and I'm few and far between for giving kudos to a lot in Scranton, but it's the two city council members, McAndrew and Schuster, I believe, who forced this hand and force the administration to renegotiate. So if anyone should get the pat on the back for at least getting rid of Saturday parking fees and the real longer extended hours, it's those two individuals. So my expectation is this passes tonight, but who knows? Maybe if the residents and the business owners come out again and some professionals come out and voice their minds again, the people are heard and something happens. But there are some, like I said, the pros and cons that was developed. It's not my doing. It's developed by AI, and then I checked what it put out to us. It really gives a background on the Scranton parking issue and the pros and cons from retaking the asset back or doing what appears is going to be done now, which is paying $250,000 extra a year up into $2.5 million after 10 years if they continue with the no Saturday and lesser hours during the week. So we'll see which way it goes, but I would pay attention tonight's city council meeting at Scranton. It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Lots of questions about the parking here, and I'm going to try and dig into them here if I can. Somebody texter said, Rob, I'm confused. I thought Scranton sold the parking authority. Why do they need to pay on a bond for it? Wouldn't that be like selling your house but still paying for the upkeep of the property? Well, what happened here is the city of Scranton sold a 40-year lease to these nonprofits. So they still own or on the deeds for these properties, for the street park and such. So the bonds also have the city of Scranton's name on them. So if these bonds default, even though the leaser basically is responsible for it, the city of Scranton is still named on it. So they did not sell the assets outright. They sold a 40-year lease. And now the renegotiation is that because the parking, these organizations that bought the lease for 40 years got beat up during COVID, are financially struggling now. So they're renegotiating because they can't afford the bond payments. And part of that renegotiation is to have the city of Scranton pay them what was $200,000 a year for 10 years. That's $2 million. And handle some maintenance of the facilities, which now is $250,000 because of this recent agreement today to do away with Saturday proposed parking hours, which is costing the city an additional $50,000 a year. So that would be $250,000 a year for 10 years, $2.5 million. So that's there. Somebody says, Rob, I will say that you cannot show me a city government anywhere in American history that runs things correctly. I tend to agree with you, but parking's a different story. Philadelphia makes a real good profit off of its parking. As a matter of fact, in 2015, in fiscal year 2015, they made $76.4 million in net income off of street parking. In 2020, an audit noted that the on-street parking unit managed over 15,000 meter spaces, generating $37 million in revenue. Though there are high operational costs that reduce that net profit, but the revenue from parking tickets is split between the city and the school district of Philadelphia, with the city guaranteed at least $35 million annually in parking tickets alone. So if it's split equally, that means the Philadelphia School District is getting $35 million annually. Pittsburgh makes a profit on its parking. Harrisburg leased 7,700 off-street and 1,250 on-street parking spaces for $283 million to address municipal debt, indicating significant revenue potential from parking assets. The privatization deal suggested that parking was profitable enough to attract private investment. And Bridgeville, the parking authority, operates self-sustaining parking lots without relying on tax dollars, reinvesting all profits into lot maintenance and potential expansion. This model implies profitability as operational costs are covered by parking revenues alone. So that's just a few, both large and small, municipalities here in Pennsylvania that do make it work. So we'll see. Somebody said, I'm asking if the lease needs to be renegotiated in nonprofit favor. Yeah, it seems to be it's in the nonprofit's favor. And again, but if the city was to take this asset back, it would cost them $36 million. Now, if it was run properly, and that my breakdown on Facebook that shows the pros and cons of taking this back, the city of Scranton would have to take on this $36 million in debt because they would be solely responsible for the bond if they did away with this. But you're running the organization yourself, right? And it's part of this is one of the arguments that I've always had. Listen, before I did this for 20 years, I ran large-scale communities. And we did everything in-house. We had our own roads and bridges people. We had our own public safety. We had our own everything. Because why would you subcontract that out for somebody else to make a profit? Listen, if you own a large parking lot, if it costs you X amount of dollars to plow that parking lot yourself. Now, in our area where snow's not very steady and such like that, you have to look at the pros and cons. But if you have if you're like, let's say, a school district, or you're someone that has the assets, has the payroll capabilities to not incur additional administrative costs. Okay, what does a truck cost you? What do plows cost you? What's the lifespan of those? Okay, now break that down per year over the lifespan. And it's not difficult to do. That's what capital investment is. You are paying another company to come in and do those things and make a profit. A company's not coming in unless they're making a profit. Now, you as the entity, your job is to not make a profit. Your job is to break even and not have it cost any more than it needs to. Well, you're hiring a company to do that same job with the very same equipment and make a profit. Well, that's what's happening with the parking here. We leased this to a company who planned on making a profit. Well, because of COVID or whatever reasons they're claiming about now, and they really did not have good data when they sat at this meeting last week, they're saying they were beat up financially and they can't sustain it and they're in jeopardy of default. And they need the city's help to maintain that. Now, the city doesn't want them to go in default because the city's still named on the bonds and it will give their credit a ding. If they do go into default, it goes into a receivership, the city loses all control. I get that. But how come this wasn't sat down, knowing that this was more of an issue before the bonds were coming that due, and say, okay, here's an analytic breakdown of how we could do this ourselves, what's it going to cost, what's the possible profit margin? Can we take it back ourselves and sublet it out to a company, which is exactly what this nonprofit's doing now? They're not running the parking. They're hiring a parking company to do the parking. So cut them out altogether. And save that middle administration fee, salaries, and benefits to those people. But none of this was looked at logistically. None of this was looked at analytically with the entire city council, with the administration, with budget experts. No, it wasn't. It's rushed, forced deals that the administration waits last minute for to shove down city council's throat. And normally she has the three votes to ram it through for her. Without question, sometimes they're questioned. They questioned a little bit when there were lies about the pool, but now not so much. They tried to force it through last week. And if it wasn't for two city council members, all Democrats, mind you, that said, whoa, we don't have enough information here. This was not brought to us holistically to where we could look at this and make a good faith decision. And because, and only because, they said no, it had to go back and in jeopardy of defaulting, and the mayor now all of a sudden had to scramble and say, okay, well, we're going to pull these things back, but it's going to cost us more money. 3 years, it'll sunset. You know why? Because in 3 years, does she really care? We'll see. It's 3:35 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. You have Senator McCormick and Donald Trump on the stage right now speaking at the Pennsylvania AI and Energy Summit in Pennsylvania. We can go to it? All right, let's bring it up. So that's President Donald Trump speaking in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Mellon University about the Energy and AI Summit that's taking place in Pennsylvania. $92 billion of investments, and he's talking about the start of that. It's coming up on 3:50 here at WILK, the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:56, 88 degrees on this Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. The Energy and AI Summit's continuing in Pittsburgh with President Trump, flanked by Senator Dave McCormick and other members. I think he mentioned at least four or five secretaries are there at this event. It is a packed house. I did see Pennsylvania State Treasurer Stacey Garrity there and many others. So it's being carried live right now on Fox News if you want to check it out. But we're going to continue with the show here. So the U.S. government said Monday that it's placing a 17% duty on most fresh Mexican tomatoes after negotiations ended without an agreement to avert a tariff. Proponents said the import tax will help rebuild the shrinking U.S. tomato industry and ensure that produce eaten in the U.S. is grown there. Sounds pretty solid, right? I would think, why would we need to import a lot of tomatoes? I mean, we do pretty good here. I mean, I understand our growing season is not the longest, but there are places where they are. The numbers staggered me. Mexico currently supplies around 70% of the U.S. tomato market, and it was only 30% just 2 decades ago. In 2005, Mexico only supplied 30% of the nation's tomatoes here in the U.S. Now it's 70%. Why? Oh, cheaper labor. But with that, you get a lot of collateral issues, right? Opponents, including U.S. companies that grow tomatoes in Mexico, said the tariff will make fresh tomatoes more expensive to U.S. buyers. Okay, I get that. At first, it would. Tim Richards, a professor at Morrison School of Agribusiness at Arizona State University, said U.S. retail prices for tomatoes would likely raise around 8.5% with that 17% duty. It's interesting that that's the recommendation, that's the estimate from an agribusiness professor at the Arizona State University Agriculture School. Remember when they were saying that we'd be paying the full tariff here? Remember Democrats were running around saying, oh, you're going to put a 20% or a 50% tariff, you're going to be paying 50% more for goods. Well, here, this Tim Richards, professor at the Morrison School of Agribusiness from Arizona State University, says with a 17% duty, tomato prices will likely rise around 8.5%. Now, he doesn't say for how long. It doesn't say if off the start. But like anything else, I think people would start to manage and prices would stabilize, don't you? We start with eggs. I mean, I know at least a dozen people during the egg crisis that went out and got their own chickens. Now, I understand a lot of people can't do that, but a lot of people did do it. I know people who had their own chickens were selling their excess eggs at a very reasonable price to people, weren't marking their up, looking to help their neighbors out, you know, at a comparable cost. So I think the tomato industry would recover rather fast. I think more people – listen, if the price of tomatoes went up 20% tomorrow, in a week I could have tomatoes in my garden. It's as simple as that. And that's what I would do. And that's what a lot of people can do. And I don't even care if you live in an apartment with a little space. You have sunlight coming in your window, you can have a tomato garden. You might not have the biggest yield, but you'll be able to get your tomatoes. And I think more people will start their little tomato gardens. I think it would be a great thing for Americans to do. So they make it seem like it's the end of the world because, oh my God, tomatoes, which we should be growing the majority of here, would cost more. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.